I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I think if I were to give the first section of today's Gospel a title, it might well be, "The Shy Need Not Apply." Jesus has been talking about persecution and how his disciples should rejoice to be treated in the same way as God's faithful servants down the ages had been treated before them. In the passage we have listened to, Jesus is pointing out the distinctive nature of his disciples that will lead to their being subject to persecution. Of course, a good way to avoid persecution is to avoid being distinctive, but that is not what Jesus envisages for his disciples. He expects them to be different. Hence, if you want to avoid being noticed, if you are the shy and retiring type, perhaps being a Christian disciple is not for you. The first characteristic of his disciples that Jesus highlighted was that of being salt. Salt was used as a description for wisdom by the teachers in Israel. And when Jesus talks of salt losing its saltiness, he actually says the salt becomes foolish. So perhaps he means that we are to be the wisdom of the world. If we become foolish, we are of no use to the world at all. Of course, in its physical properties, salt is known for giving flavour and also for preserving things from going bad. Either of those ideas would fit well with what Jesus is saying. Christians may be called to make things in the world taste better. We often say that things which go wrong leave a bad taste in our mouths, or to ward off the decay that would naturally happen in the world without something or someone acting to prevent it. The second characteristic of Jesus' disciples is that of being light. If we live for Christ, we will begin to glow like light, showing others what Jesus is like. If we choose to be shy, to hide, we will demonstrate it in our behaviour as we hide our light. We may keep silence when we should speak up. We may choose to go along with the crowd instead of doing what we know is right. We may deny that we know Jesus because we fear the reaction of other people. We may let sin get a foothold in our lives instead of confessing when we know we have done wrong and accepting the fresh start God offers. We may avoid sharing our faith with others through embarrassment or fear. We may ignore the needs of others when we could have helped them in Jesus' name. Both salt and light make a difference when they are present. You can't fail to notice if salt has been added to food. It changes it from being bland to being tasty. And the presence of light banishes darkness so that you cannot miss the effect, even if the light is only small. The difference that Christians make must make is noticeable because they are making an effort to have an effect on the world. Blending in is not what we're about. Instead, we're there to affect the world positively. Christians are expected to be noticed because they offer an alternative way of being, one that is challenging. Challenge is not always welcome. Hence, persecution can so easily be the result for Jesus' disciples. In the next section of the Gospel, Jesus tells his disciples more about the distinctiveness that will mark them out. He says that their righteousness has to exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. On first reading, that is quite shocking. Jesus often had differences of opinion with the Pharisees because of the scrupulous way they kept the many laws of their time. Yet here he is telling his disciples to be even better than the Pharisees. How could that be possible? Jesus talks about the law and the prophets, by which he means the whole of what we call the Old Testament. Within those, God's law is explained with the purpose of helping people to love God with their hearts and minds. However, over time the law had become a confusing mass of rules and regulations. it was misquoted and misapplied. Jesus says that he has come to fulfill the law. Scripture pointed to Jesus, and now he's around to give the law its full meaning. He is bringing people back to the original purpose of the law. Jesus makes it plain that he is not abolishing the law. Instead, he brings a new way to understand it. He is not against the law itself, but against the abuses and excesses that had become the norm. So how much of the law that we see in the Old Testament are we supposed to follow now? The law can be split into three categories, and each should be treated differently. The ceremonial law was concerned with Israel's way of worshipping God. It pointed to Jesus, so once he had died and risen again, there was no longer any need for further sacrifices in the temple, and so on. The principle of the ceremonial law still applies to us. We are to worship and love a holy God. The details are not important, and Jesus often got into conflict with the Pharisees as they accused him of violating the ceremonial law. The second kind of law was civil law. This concerned the way of daily living for Israel. We live in a very different kind of society, so the details are difficult to follow specifically, but the principles behind them are still valid. Jesus fulfilled this law by his example. The third kind of law is the moral law, such as the Ten Commandments. This is a direct command from God, and we are still expected to obey it. It shows us the way that God wants us to live our lives. Jesus obeyed this law completely. When Jesus said that his disciples must have a righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees, he is looking beyond the keeping of the laws in a meticulous but purely outward way. The Pharisees sought to gain favor from God by this external keeping of the law, but they broke the law inwardly. Jesus is not looking for this hypocritical approach, which looks at righteousness as simply a matter of works. This is inadequate. He wants us to see the underlying principles behind the law and expects total commitment to those principles. In this way, the law will change our hearts and our attitudes. So when Jesus demands that we exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, it is in the quality of our obedience rather than the quantity of minute regulations that we can keep. We need to be concerned about our attitude, which can't be seen, rather than just about our actions, which can be seen. Our goodness must come from what God is doing in us. It must be centered on God and not on ourselves. It must be based on reverence for God and not seeking the approval of people. And it must go beyond the law to the principles which underpin it. Jesus highlights that it is important to do what the law says and not just to teach others what to do. It's far easier to study God's laws and then tell others to obey them than it is to put them into practice in our own lives. Some of Jesus' listeners thought that teaching others what to do was the ultimate goal in life. But really, the highest goal of all is to be obedient to God ourselves. A lot is said nowadays about light pollution. This passage shows us a good form of light pollution. If each of us lives by the principles of the law, following God's true will, we will be like shining lights. Together, we will be like an illuminated city, high on a hill, that can be seen for miles around. We will stand out from our surroundings, bringing light in the darkness of the world. By living this way, we will bring glory to God, simply through the goodness that we are allowing God to develop in our lives.